just feel like the Lord's been talking to me some about this thought that I wrote on the board, a faithful man. I wasn't here on Father's Day. It seems like we're always gone at that time almost. But it isn't just to fathers, but I know this very thing. Faithfulness is for all of us. But I just want to look at some things in the Bible, in the Word, that that challenges us a little bit about being faithful. In Nehemiah 7 and 2, we'll start there, and it says here, Now, 7 and 1. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani, and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You know, I just think about this. There was a need here that Nehemiah saw, that there was a need for somebody to be in this place. And then he said he gave his brother and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. This morning I want to challenge us a little bit. Who is a faithful man and what is a faithful man? And this isn't just for men, but it's for all of us. I was just thinking about faithful and what it means. And what is, when you say a faithful man, is that a superman or a superhuman? Or what is a faithful man? Is it somebody that we cannot attain to? You know, it's a pretty lowly definition, really, when you look at it. If you look at Strong's, it says stability. Figuratively, certainty or truth. This is what this word means that was translated faithfulness. In right or faithful, trustworthiness, verity. And if you look in the Old Testament, or sure, true, truly, truth. In the Old Testament, most of the time that word that I looked at a lot of the places it was used, and it was used as truly or truth or true many of those times, most of those times. And you know, I just want us to think this morning about incorporating this into our life. Webster says faithful is, I'll just read a few of the things, firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. 2 says, firmly adhering to duty, of true fidelity, loyal, true to allegiance as a faithful subject. Number 6 was true to the marriage covenant as a faithful wife or husband. Number 8 says, constant, not fickle, as a faithful lover or friend. Number 9 was true, worthy of belief. And you know, this morning, this is just the lowly definition of a faithful man. Just someone that's true. Someone that's real. Someone that's honest. Someone that's faithful. That can be counted on. That's who we're talking about this morning. I want to challenge all of us this morning, especially the men. I so appreciate the godly men that we have. I have seen much blessing from that. We're rich in godly men, and I appreciate that. But you know, I just think about this word faithfulness and what it means to be faithful and what happens when you are faithful. Do you know that there are a lot of blessings to the faithful? There are a lot of things that make it very worthwhile to be true and to be counted on and to be faithful. In Proverbs 28 and 20, it says here, a faithful man, Proverbs 28 and 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You know, I think this morning about the abounding with blessings. You know, that doesn't mean we won't have any hard things, but we can abound in the places that it counts. We can abound in being full of the Holy Spirit. We can abound in being full of good works. We can abound in faith toward God. We can abound in peace, in joy, in gentleness. We can abound in these ways. And it says, a faithful man abounds with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. You know, when we set our heart on any other thing, it takes away that element of faithfulness. It's not just one thing. When we set our heart on anything besides the goodness of God and being true and being faithful and honest to our task, you know, it says they shall not be innocent. I want to look at 25 and 19 here while we're here in Proverbs. And it says here, 25 and 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Have you ever had a broken tooth? How many here has ever had a broken tooth? You know what I'm talking about this morning. You can't bite down on it. You can't hardly eat anything because you can't apply any pressure. You can't. It's not worth much. It doesn't happen. You know, the scripture says confidence in an unfaithful man is like that. Like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. I want to encourage us all this morning. Young men, listen to me this morning with this one thing. Be able to be counted on in your life. Be true. Be right with the Lord. Let your intentions be right. Let your heart be right. Grow up to be a man of valor, a man of truth, a man that when you look at the definitions of this word, faithful, right, sure, true, truly, trustworthiness, certainty, that can be said of each one of us. It's just a choice that we make whether we'll let God produce that in us or not. You know, this morning, I just want to encourage us. The faithful man, do you believe this morning? A faithful man shall abound with blessings. It is true. But confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. You ever called on someone, you needed help, and you found out they couldn't be counted on. They just could not be counted on. Have you ever sent somebody to do something, hired somebody to do something for you, and sent them to do it, and then you find out it wasn't done? And you come back to see it later, and you was counting on it, and it didn't happen. You know what? God has entrusted us with some tasks today. He's entrusted us with our families. He's entrusted us with our life. He's entrusted us with the future and those that He would bring in contact with us. You know what? He's counting on you and me to be faithful this morning. And I want to look at some men that were faithful. And Job 1, when you think of Job, you think of a couple of things. One of them is that this was a faithful man that God Himself spoke for. In Job 1 and 8, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Was Job a superman? Was Job some kind of something that we cannot attain to? I believe Job was just an honest man. He cared for others. His life, when he spoke of his own life and his own testimony, he spoke of those have the ones ever lodged, how did he say it, in the street, or different things that Job said about the hungry. Job knew his life. Job was a faithful man, and God said of him that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God. The first man that we spoke of here this morning, it said he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You know who Job was? He was a man that believed God. He was a man that served him with all of his heart. He did the things that he knew was right. He lived for God. He was concerned about the spiritual welfare of his children. Real concerned. And you see him offering sacrifices. The scripture says, just in case it sounded like, that one of his children had sinned against God. And Job was offering sacrifices for this. He was that kind of man. He was a man that feared God above many. He was a man that honored God. He respected God and he believed him. And he put it into his life. You know, what are we supposed to do to be a faithful man? Just to honor God. Let him have his place in our life. Fear God and keep his commandments. Do the things that we know we ought to do. Be faithful. The things, if we misstep, be faithful and just, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And get back up and go again. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again. You know why he does that? Because he has in his heart faithfulness. If he finds himself in a misstep, he gets up. I'm not going that way. I want to be faithful to God. I want to do his will in my life. You know what an unfaithful man does? He doesn't do that. He doesn't take that path. In Psalms 37, and 37 is another scripture following on the back of this one where Job, where God spake of him as a perfect man. You know what Psalms 37 and 37 exhorts us? Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. Why? He says, why do we mark the perfect man? Today it seems like all we hear, and I mean this, all we hear on the news is marking the evil man. Folks, we need to mark some perfect men. We need to see those that are faithful, those that are sincere, those that fear God above many, and we need to mark them. I'll tell you what the Bible says of them here in 37 and 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You want that kind of end? You want peace in your life? You want your end to be more peace than your beginning? Be this kind of man. Be faithful. Be sincere. Be honest. Let God have his way in your life. Young men, I want to urge you, put these building blocks into your life. Don't let the enemy establish any places where it is his in your life. Cast those things out and let the Lord work in your life. I want to tell you what the end will be. Peace. That's the end of the man that lives like this. In Acts 6 and 3, another scripture here of they were needing some help. The work of God was needing some help. You know, the Lord needs you and me. He needs men that have lived like this. In 6 and 3 it says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now listen to what it says. Are these supermen? No, they're not supermen. They're men like you and me. And he says, the 12 called the disciples together. And they said, we can't do all the work. We need others to help. And they said, now I want you to look out 7 men of honest report. Men, what's your report this morning? 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Full of those things that God said he would give in abundance. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. There was some work that needed done. I want to tell you, the Lord is looking for you and me to be faithful. He's looking for us to be in our place, men and women that God can count on, that the Lord, when he needs help, can call upon our life this morning. In Titus 1 and 5, I want to look at another scripture here. Now let's keep in mind that the faithful man, that his blessings, it says, abound. And we believe that this morning. Okay, Titus 1 and 5, and we'll read a little bit there. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children not accused of riot or unruly. Is it too much for us in our life to be like this? Is it too much for the Lord to require this of us? He says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. Is it possible for men to not be self-willed? Do we have to be self-willed? Do we have to be so full of self that people look at us and say they're self-willed? I don't think we have to be that way. Are these supermen that God was requiring and asking for? No. He's asking for faithful men. Faithful people that He can put His Holy Spirit upon. The seal of approval upon their lives and use their lives. The Lord wants to put His approval upon our life. Men. Faithful men. I just want to speak to us this morning for a minute. He says, not self-willed, not soon angry. Are we soon angry? Do we fire off? You know what? God wants us to take care of that. He wants to help us with those things. He wants us to be blameless and not allow, not somebody be able to say, they're angry. That's an angry man. That don't get in their way. You know what? God wants us to have some of these faithful attributes in our lives. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine. Is this too much to ask? No striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality. Listen to what a faithful man is. Now Paul said here, I left you in Crete to ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed you to do. These are the kind of men I want you to find. Men that they're a lover of hospitality. Is that a superman? It's a man that gives up himself. What is a lover of hospitality? You ever been around a hospitable person? They love to serve. They love to serve you and me. They loved that kind of thing. Are we a lover of hospitality? Takes a little work on ourselves. It takes a little work sometimes to open up our door. We're talking about faithful men this morning that can be counted on. What kind of life do we have? What kind of can we be one of these people that God Himself could say, that's a faithful man? Superman? No, that's just a faithful man. They're a lover of hospitality. They love my ways above many. They fear God above many. Put it into our life. Study the Scripture. Little bit by little bit, incorporate it into our lives. These good things, incorporate. A lover of hospitality. A lover of good men. Now, what would that mean? Would we not be a lover of good men? Yeah, we could run with evil men. That could be our choice. That could be the way we do it. That could be our life. A lover of things that are not quite right, not quite pure. But he says a lover of good men. Sober. And you know, I looked up this word sober. It says safe, sound in mind, that is self-controlled. Moderate as to opinion or passion, discreet, sober, temperate. You know, and I looked up some of those words even in that. Paul told them to look up men that were sober, men that were under self-control, that were temperate. Do we have self-control and temperance? It's something God wants to build into our life. He wants to take us from where we are, and He wants to keep working with us. If we fail, He wants us to get up and go again. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. He wants us to not cover it up, but repent of it. I want to be a man of God. I want to do it God's way. I want to incorporate into my life those good things that God wants to give us. A lover of good men, sober, just, holy. What does it mean to be just? You know, we're told that we must be just, that we must be right with people. You know what an unjust person is? They're not quite fair. They're not quite fair with somebody else. I want to encourage us. These are not superhumans we're talking about. We're talking about men and women that are just. Men and women that are fair. If they was on the other side of the deal, they would feel fair just like on your side or on my side. And you know, I find that's not the way it is for every man. But we're talking about faithful men this morning. Just, holy. Is it too much for a man to be holy when Christ died for it? Is it too much for us to say, yes, my life is holy by the grace of God? We sang a song a while ago and it said, by the grace of God. And it listed out a number of verses about things that was done by the grace of God. I am saved today by the grace of God. I don't remember the rest of them, but I was noticing those things. By the grace of God, we can be holy. Because we seek Him, because we put Him first in our life, because we dig deep enough to find the grace of God to make us holy and to make us pure and make us able to live for God every day. That comes from the Lord. And then it says temperate. You know, I think we all kind of know what temperate means. Not every man is temperate, are they? But the faithful man, the man that God's looking for, that the apostles told them, you look out seven men full of the Holy Ghost, full of honest report, and look for those men. We got a job for those kind of people. You know, this morning the Lord wants to put some of these things in our life. Temperate. The Lord's looking for men that will temper their passions and not just let our passions go. Whatever it is, whatever the passion is, don't just let it go and say it didn't happen. Don't just let our passions go. Temper them. Bring them under the control of God's Spirit. Be a man that when God is looking for help, He can say right over there, He told Satan right there, you seen Job? He's a perfect man. And he fears God. And he told a little bit about Job there. You know, he wasn't a superman. He was a man that feared God. He was a man that was honest. He was a man that had, I believe, these kind of qualifications. I don't believe Job was a man given to wine. I don't think Job was a man that was soon angry. I don't think Job was a man that was too selfish with his life to entertain strangers or to help. But here he says a lover of hospitality, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You know, we have a job on our hands. The world is full of gainsaying. And they have a reason to be, because the whole Christian world, my brother was telling me yesterday, and he goes to a Baptist church. He was telling me yesterday, he said, you know, it's no wonder, I can't remember the exact things, but he was talking about how the world is scorning religion. And he understands why. Because when they look at religion and they see what they see in those professing godliness, it turns the world away. This morning, I just want to encourage us. Men, be men of God. Not supermen, just men of God. Be holy, be righteous, be temperate. Take good care of those in our charge. take good care of those first in your line, your family. Take good care of them. That's Bible. Be careful with them. Train them up diligently. Be humble. Be careful. Be kind, especially to them. You know, Clark wrote here, sober, prudent in all his conduct, just in all his dealings, holy in his heart. In Proverbs 20 and verse 6 is a scripture. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, out in the world, I found one thing. I don't know why this is altogether, but when I've worked with people on a job and they start telling me how good they are and how honest they are, and they ride that thing. You know, almost every time it's opposite of that. Almost every time. I don't know why. I just know that it's that way. But you know, it says most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Who among us is going to be a faithful man? I know we've got a bunch of them here, and I thank God for it. That is a wonderful blessing we have, to be rich in good, godly men. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be faithful. Young men, put it in your heart. I'm going to be a faithful man. I'm going to be a man that lives like God wants me to. A superman? No. I'm going to be a godly man, though. I'm going to be a man that humbles himself. I'm going to be a man that listens to other people's complaints to me. I want to hear them. I want to know them. I might have something to learn from it. You know what? That's a godly man. Men, young men, put it in your life. Don't be high and haughty and mighty. Listen to others. Be a faithful man. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I want to tell you this morning that there is a blessing that follows faithfulness. There is a blessing that comes upon it. Everywhere it is, it comes upon the faithful this morning. In Genesis 18, I want to look at a faithful man here. And, you know, God spoke of this man. You know, the Lord spoke of several men in the Bible. In Genesis 18 and 19, the Lord said, "For I know him." Let's just look up to 16. "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. He was a hospitable man. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." You know, Abraham, I don't believe, was a superman either. Abraham was a man like you and me. He heard God's voice. That's the first thing that happened. Or maybe he turned his heart to God in the beginning. But he heard God's voice. And the Lord told him, "Abraham, get up. I want you to get out of this place." He obeyed. You know what that was? Faithfulness. That was a man that did right. You know, I wonder, and I've wondered this many times, I wonder how many other Abrahams there were that God called. I wonder if there was a man before Abraham that God called, that he really wanted to put this blessing on. And they said, "I don't want to get up from here. I like it where I am." You know what? God calls us too. The Lord ever spoke to us during a meeting, during our worship? Has he ever pricked our hearts? You know what that is? That's God speaking. And he's calling us to a place. Abraham filled this place He responded to God's call. He says here, and I know him, for I know him that he will command his children after him. You know, I want to ask you something this morning. How did Abraham command his children? How did he command Isaac to get on the altar so he could kill him and offer him for a burnt sacrifice? How did Abraham do that? Abraham was 125. And Josephus says that Isaac was around 25. Do you think Abraham could have made him get up on the altar? I seriously doubt it. I'm guessing that by the respect that Isaac had for Abraham's walk with God, he knew when his dad said, God said it, he knew it was so. He knew his life. He watched his father. He had respect for him. I don't believe this scenario could have happened otherwise if he had not have had that kind of respect. But you know, he asked his father, where is the sacrifice? His father said, oh, the Lord will supply. You know, the Lord had worked so in Abraham's life that Isaac accepted that. And he went on 3 days' journey with him. And I just think about how that God said he'll command his children after him. Once a man is 125 years old, he's not going to force them to do anything. Once a man dies and goes off the scene, he can't make his children do anything. And once they get to be grown, he can't make them do anything. But Abraham, God said, I know him. He'll command his children after him. How was that to happen? By the respect they had for him. By what they saw in his life. By the righteousness that they saw in Abraham's life. By his fear of God. He feared God above many. He was a man that loved the Lord. You know, this morning I want to just challenge all of us, men and women, but especially the men this morning. Be men of God. Let the Lord work in our heart in such a way that our word has weight with those we love. I know we can't make everybody be saved. That's a choice that has to be of the heart. But I will tell you, we can lead them real close to the cross where they can get saved. They can respect that place enough that they can see something they want in their life as well. Be men of God. Be men that are faithful. Men that when somebody is wanting something done, that can be looked at. It says there in the beginning scripture that Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, they were a faithful man. It says, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. How about our life this morning? It's not all easy. It's not all just sailing along. But I want to tell you something. God has many things he wants done today. He's looking for faithful men. He's looking for men that will hear his voice and obey it. Saul was a man that God chose, and he wanted him to work for him. He wanted Saul to be king. He wanted Saul to be in the place of David. I believe that. And I will tell you, you read the scripture. That's my opinion of it anyway. You read in the scripture, and Samuel told him, he said, for then would he have established your kingdom forever. That was what God was going to do. But you know what? Saul didn't remain faithful. But he said, I've chosen a man after my own heart, one that was faithful. Men, let's be a man after God's heart. Do we have to be supermen? We just have to be men of God. We just have to be men that humble ourselves when we need to, that listen to the voice of God, that serve him with all of our heart. Be a man of God. Be a faithful man. The Lord is needing some people like that in his kingdom. You know, I look at Abraham. Did he demand respect? How did he demand respect? You know what? He came up to a place. God told him, this land is yours. It's for you and your posterity. You know what? Lot followed with him. And he came up to the place, and they finally decided, this land, there's not enough here for both of us in the same place. We've just got too many. We're going to have to divide up. You know what Abraham did? He said, you take your pick. And you know what Lot did? He picked the best land. Even though Abraham was the one that it was promised to. And Abraham was the kind of man that said, okay, you take that. And he let him have it. That was the kind of man that demanded the kind of respect that Isaac and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs, even though those 12 patriarchs did some really wrong things, in the end, they came back around. They knew there was something there, didn't they? And they had respect for what they knew of God, because there was somebody there in their life that had given an example to them. So I believe that Abraham, he commanded his those going after him by the respect, by the righteousness, by his walk with God, he did that. You know, this morning, we live in life, don't we? We can talk demeaning. We can be angry. We can be ugly. We can be selfish. Or we can be like Abraham was and demand respect. The other demands disrespect. It's a natural result of it. You know, this morning God wants us to be able to have respect. It takes the work of the Lord in our life and in our heart and us allowing that in our lives. Men, when we see a place in our life, listen up to the Lord and to those about us. It's a blessing from the Lord. Let the righteous smite me. It'll be an excellent oil for my head, and it won't break my head. It'll be something that's a blessing to us. You know, I think about the scripture that we started with, and it said, he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And we read another scripture that spoke of a faithful man shall abound with blessings. This morning, the Lord wants our life to abound with blessings. Whether or not we have many troubles, the Lord wants our life to abound with blessings. And I believe many times the Lord will work those things out for us if we will let Him. But we can be full of the Holy Ghost. Our life can be full of the energy that God gives in a life. The zeal of the Lord. You know that comes from the Lord? That's not an accident that somebody has zeal for the things of God in their life. It comes from the Lord. We have to seek the Lord. We have to humble our hearts. We have to find the Lord real in our life. And I don't think this is speaking of a Superman. It's just speaking of you and me. Just humbling ourselves, being men of God, listening to His ways, getting the grace that we need to obey Him, to serve Him. You know, many times we can know what we need to do, but that's not enough. We can want to do the right thing, and that's not enough. We have to dig deep. It's beyond us. We're not able, and God made it that way. We're not able to live pleasing, well-pleasing to God on our own. We will find ourselves so disappointed in ourselves. It takes the grace of God. It takes humbling our heart before Him. And this morning, I just want to challenge us all. Let the Lord abound in our lives. Let His blessing abound in your life. You ever seen someone that was afflicted and they were abounding with blessing? I've seen that. You ever seen somebody and you know, you don't have to be afflicted to abound with blessing. But the Lord wants our lives to abound in many ways. To some, He's going to give affliction. To many, He's going to give many other things. He said to one place, I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. He didn't say that to everybody. And there might be a time in our life for that. But you know, God wants our life to abound with His blessing. He wants it to be evident that there's something more than just our life going on. You know what He wants us to abound in? He wants us to abound in the Holy Ghost. He wants you read the scriptures that we said, choose out seven men. What was the scripture? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Is that something we can have? Wisdom in our life? making good choices, wise choices? Is it of us to do that? No, we're pretty handicapped as humans, aren't we? But God said He'd give us wisdom liberally if we'd seek Him, if we'd humble ourselves for it. God wants to give us those things this morning. He wants to make us rich in faith, rich in confidence in God, rich in our experience with the Lord, rich in our relationships with other people. Do we sometimes have bumps along the way? Yes, we do. But I want to tell you something. If we're real and if we follow through with one another, I want to tell you, God will work things out for us. He'll help us in our needs. He'll help us in our marriage. He'll help us with our children. I just want to encourage us, don't throw in the towel. The Lord wants us to be rich. He wants our life to abound in blessing, to abound with wisdom, with godliness, with those graces that He wants to give. God wants our life to abound in those things. And I'll tell you, I think when we do, we'll reap the benefits of the work that it takes to be a faithful man. Because it's not always easy to be a faithful man. It's not always easy to tell the truth when you're put on the spot. It's not always easy to humble yourself when your fault is called out. I've had to do that. You know, this morning the Lord wants us to be able to be faithful people. It just takes a humbling of ourselves. It takes a walk with the Lord. It takes us willing to seek Him until we get the grace to do His will. You know what else we'll be rich in? Brother Leslie preached a message here during the meeting, and he was talking about all those memories, or wasn't it memories and he began to bring out all the people that he had known that was godly. You know what? That's a rich blessing for him. When things get tight in our life, you know what a blessing it is? Somebody was telling me a while back in another state, and they were the enemy had got his foot in on them and hurting them bad. But you know what they said? I knew those old saints. And they said, I knew Brother Stover, Brother Austus, I think, Brother McMillan, different ones. And they knew what the spirit of the saints really was like. And they knew those things. You know, that was a rich treasure to them because it was kind of like a guiding light. It was a little light to them to help them see their way back from the confusion that they were in. They were rich in that treasure. The world don't have that. Many times they don't have a guiding light. Where do they go? Just with the whim of whatever is happening today. But the Lord wants us to be rich. He wants our life to abound with blessings. He wants our life to have peace in it. He wants our life to have many, many rich and good things. And I believe He'll give that to every one of us if we will let Him. We have to do a little fighting to get there. We have to labor to enter into that rest. It's not easy to be a faithful man all the time. But the faithful man will abound with blessings. Lord, bless us each one today. Help us to settle it in our heart. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be one of those people that fear God above many. I'm going to do all He wants me to do. I'm going to get the grace to do it. I'm going to live like He wants me to. And you know what? You'll see, through the years, you'll see God beginning to load you with blessings. And He does that for every one of His children. Amen.